Welcome to the Elijah Streams podcast. Our mission is to encourage you in your faith through a unique blend of patriotism and prophecy. And now, here's your host, Steve Schultz.
Hey, everybody, and happy, let's see, what are we? We are happy Thursday, April 30, 2026. My sound is a little different because I'm in a different location for the day, which is called Grandma's Kitchen here. Coffee's on and all that stuff, but we'll be back in my normal location next time you see me. So welcome to the broadcast. We're going to bring on Pastor, I think it's Dr. and Pastor and Prophet Chayon. We're going to talk about the election process he's been in California, what the process is of that, and a little bit about the history of, this is my own words, how he got on the naughty list with the state of California, but I'll have him tell that story. Some of you heard a little bit about it, but it's pretty interesting, you know, what he had the guts to do and how that got him to where he is today. It's pretty fascinating to hear that. So before we bring on Dr. Che on, let's go ahead and run a quick spot about the Ugandans. I sometimes remind people they call themselves Ugandan. That's a more African way to pronounce that first letter, Ugandan. But we call them the Ugandans. And so they're beautiful people. And so many people are coming to the Lord through these wells that we are digging. Not only they're saving lives, literally saving their lives physically because of clean water as opposed to poisonous water, but that's leading so many countless people to the Lord. So thank you so much for your support. I'm just telling you that in advance. So let's go ahead and run one of those spots, guys. Here we go with that.
Do you remember the last time you had a big celebration? Maybe it was a wedding or a graduation or a birthday celebration. Do you get excited and celebrate every time you pour yourself a glass of clean drinking water? Well, in Uganda, clean water is one of the reasons they get together to celebrate. As the people come together, they hear the gospel shared with them, and they're reminded that God has heard their prayers. People are giving their lives to Jesus at these celebrations. With each pump of the water, they're reminded daily that God hears and answers prayers. Donate online at ElijahStreams.com/donate or mail a check today to Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon, 97321.
And for many of you in Uganda who will be with us in Uganda in October, it's an Elijah List event. I think last time we had between 20 and 30 guest tourists, along with myself, my wife, and the other ones that you saw, Mike and Lori, Yvonne and Mina will be there, and Michael Wilhelm will be there from our office here in Albany, Oregon area. So we can't wait to see you. Go ahead and put up that little flyer we had, that bulletin about the trip. Hopefully you guys have that nearby. Maybe you don't. If you don't, let's see, here it goes. We're going to dedicate the 1,000th water well. This is literally, we've been counting it. We do 30 a month. We didn't always do 30 a month, so it took us longer to get here. And now we're doing 30 water wells every month, which is 365 well. I think I'm saying that right. 3 times 12. There's 360 wells a year. So that's amazing. That whole team that you see there, we're all going to be there to meet you. And that'll be fun because it's a more close-knit group. It's not this very, very distant. We it's not like we won't be able to meet every one of you and talk with you. The safari you see at the end there, they try to take everybody on a safari. I believe they're still going to do that. Does it say that in this one? We went on a safari. We saw these massive elephants walk right across the dirt road. We had to stop and wait for them patiently. It was amazing. You're not behind bars. Elephant has the right of way wherever he or she wants to go. So you don't want to miss that either. So, all right. God bless you. Thanks for giving on and on to these wells. You are literally saving lives spiritually and physically. All right. Let's bring in Dr. Chang on. So here's Dr. Chang.
Eric called me and said, hey, what are your top five favorite Christian broadcasts? He asked. And I said, you got to get on Elijah Streams. You got to do it. Steve's great. You got to get on his show.
So we ran this as a Prophets and Patriots show. It could have been run as a prophet show too, because you're totally in that category too. But you fit this way because we're talking politics today as well. But you're a prophetic man. I've seen and heard a lot of that going on. So you can't hear me.
No, I can't hear. Yeah, I got the video of him being sued. If you want to play that, it's a minute and a half, and maybe by the time it's done, he'll be in.
Okay, let's go ahead and play that while we're waiting, and then if he comes on, then we got a place to go from there. So all right, go ahead. So he was, he this is of him suing the state of California. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or the other
talking about.
Okay, it. This is kind of where he got himself in trouble with it. Not in trouble with. He won a great righteous lawsuit, but the state of California was not happy, and it ended up affecting his running for governor. But let's go ahead and run that right now. Here we go.
So we sued Governor Newsom, and I got a letter immediately saying that I'm going to be arrested by our district attorney in Pasadena. It wasn't a veiled threat. It was a real legitimate letter. My attorney looked at it and said, it's a real letter. The term was 1 year in jail. They're going to fine our church members $1,000 per person since they've been meeting. We started meeting in May. So we're talking about millions of dollars in fine. And then the last paragraph said, we reserve the right to arrest your church members. We're talking about law-abiding citizens. We're talking about people who just, you know, pay their taxes and they just want to worship. They want to arrest us. Meanwhile, Newsom's allowing inmates out because of social crowdedness. You know, he wants social distancing, so he's letting prisoners out, drug addicts, drug pushers, and he wants to arrest us. By God's grace, we went to the Supreme Court because I lost in all the lower courts. It was not looking good, and we were making plans literally what was going to look like for me to be in jail for a year. And by February 5th of 2023, we won 6-3. We're talking about Supreme Court decisions, so this applies to every state, every nation. It's not just for California. And in perpetuity, no matter who's governor in the future, no matter who's president, they can never lock down the church and violate our First Amendment rights.
All right, well, so we played that where you were suing. I can't believe they had the chutzpah, whatever, to sue you and your church members, or to threaten it. And I, even more, I can't believe you had the guts to sue the state of California. And then you didn't stop. You just went all the way up to the Supreme Court. Jump in. We just played that clip.
Yes.
Fill up the details for us.
I could just pause and just pray, because
yes, please.
A lot of warfare here. So, Father, we thank you so much for Elijah Streams and Steve Schultz and their ministry, amazing ministry, transforming the nations. And we just pray a blessing upon this. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you for the technology that we can preach and share the good news with so many countless people watching this. And we pray that you would give Steve wisdom, the questions to ask, and wisdom for me to answer correctly according to your will. For your kingdom come. Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, yeah, just an honor to be with you. And I'm not a technical person, so I don't even know what happened. But I want to just say that, in 2020, we decided to open up, and many people know about this situation. We opened up in May on Pentecost Sunday. And I checked with my attorney before I opened up, because I knew I was going to be in trouble in California, because you have to realize at that point, only three churches with thousands in Los Angeles opened up, and we were one of them. John MacArthur, ironically, was another person, and then another pastor met outdoors, but he opened up. And so we, sure enough, we got a letter from the district attorney saying that because you violate the lockdown, we are going to arrest you. It's going to be a one-year term. It's not a threat. This is a done deal. It's just a matter of when we're going to pick you up, and we'll give you a heads up when that's going to happen. They fined us. We calculate $1,000 per person per week. It was $4.5 million. And then they said, when you're in jail, if you continue to open up, we reserve the right to arrest your church members. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a Marxist, socialist, totalitarian one-party state. He makes an executive order, and it would be one thing if he made an executive order that had was uniform for everyone, but he opened up abortion clinics, liquor stores, marijuana dispensary, a strip club in San Diego. He opened up his vineyard that he owned, a vineyard, and his favorite restaurant, the French Laundry, but everything else was closed.
Unbelievable. So he would attend this French, these outdoor places, this favorite restaurant, while locking you up, or threatening to lock you up.
Well, yes, they threatened. Well, they made a executive order. He made an executive order to lock us down. And so I talked to my attorney, and he said, you're going to jail. The only way you could get out of jail is if you sue him And during the litigation, you will be, they can't arrest you. Now, if you lose, you're going to jail. And so, but I said, you know, I prayed about it. The Lord gave me a word from Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that was rhema for me. And I went ahead, talked to our pastors, our board, and they all gave me the green light. But I also got a number of our churches. I have a lead a network called Harvest International Ministry, and we have around 145 ministries or churches in California. And I asked permission to see if they would be part of the plaintiff. And this is really important because I think really we have to unite as a church, and revival and reformation spreads through apostolic networks. We see that with John Wesley back in the 1738 with the circuit riders, and we see that with Apostle Paul, and even the Clapham group out of Clapham, England, with, as you know, during the Great Awakening, the big issue, the number one issue was slavery. And William Wilberforce was leading this group called the Clapham Group, met in the town of Clapham, and it was primarily marketplace leaders. It wasn't just pastors. He did have like Charles Simeon, but he had probably the wealthiest person in the world at that time, Henry Thornton, be part of this group. And they were all evangelical Christians. They loved the Lord, and they financed the revival and reformation. And what they did was they knew they had to get abolitionists in the House of Commons. And so they used their money to elect those who were abolitionists. It took 27 years to accomplish this from 1780 to 1807. By 1807, the Slave Trade Act was finally passed. And by 1833, Britain declared Emancipation Proclamation for all the British Commonwealth nations. So think about it. Canada, slavery was illegal. Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. Of course, we had broken away as the United States in 1776, and we went through the Revolutionary War. So slavery was still allowed. But the Second Great Awakening of 1801 that culminated with the prayer revival of 1857 with Jeremiah Lampier in Wall Street, Fulton, New York. It was amazing. Fulton Street, New York was Wall Street, and it broke out there. And it just started out as a prayer meeting, but 10,000 people were praying every single day. After a while, 2 million came to know the Lord, but it hit northern United States, and they were abolitionists because Jeremiah Lampier was an abolitionist. He was saved through Charles Finney's ministry, and Charles Finney preached against the evils of slavery. Unfortunately, it led to the Civil War, but we were able to see transformation of abolishing slavery altogether with the 14th Amendment, and then even giving citizenship to the Black former slaves here in America with the 16th Amendment. And so we saw a tremendous transformation through networks that came together to pray. And that's what I'm doing here in California. So I sued Governor Newsom as a network, and by God's grace, we got the Supreme Court's attention, and we won 6-3 by February the 5th. 2021, and then we got a $1.3 million settlement. And so so Sacramento and Governor Newsom knows who we are, obviously, because we are only
two. I'm smiling, but maybe I shouldn't be smiling, but that's what the Bible calls evildoers, people that do evil. That's evil in the sight of God. I can't imagine why he's exactly walking around, but you paved the way for the church, but I don't want to blow any more of your, keep telling the story, but yeah.
Well, what happened was that now I'm running for governor, and of course it requires a number of things for me to qualify constitutionally. I have to be a U.S. citizen, and even though I came here as a five-year-old from South Korea, we became citizens, and we love this country. I thank God for the United States, because if it wasn't for the United States, number one, they saved us twice. They saved us in 1880 by sending missionaries to Korea. Britain sent missionaries to China, but the United States sent missionaries, evangelical missionaries. They loved the Lord. And so that's why the churches in Korea exploded with Yonggi Cho's church, the at one time the largest church, 750,000 member church. And that came as a result of the missionaries praying for revival, because Welsh revival broke out in 1904. And these American missionaries said, God bring the Welsh revival to Korea. And he heard their prayers with the Pyongyang revival of 1907. And so, wow. But they saved me twice, because my dad was born in Pyongyang in 1945, when Stalin and Truman, after World War II, they divided Germany, East Germany being communist, West Germany being free, because Stalin wanted a buffer nation so that that for protection. He did the same thing with Korea, because Japan was the enemy. They were part of the Allied forces with Hitler. And so he wanted all of Korea to be communist. But in 1945, they compromised. North Korea would be communist. South Korea would be free. So overnight, my dad stuck in a communist country. And then Kim Il-sung, the dictator installed by Stalin, wanted to unite all of Korea under communism. And so he invaded South Korea with his military. They had a powerful military. And they arrested all the pastors before they invaded. Because they knew the pastors would be the prophetic descent. They will speak out against it. So this is the cancel culture. It's a typical Marxist playbook. So my dad was arrested. But here's what happened. Truman then sent General Douglas MacArthur, the World War II hero, to intervene. And sure enough, he was able to push the North Korean forces to the Chinese border. And during that six-month window, my dad was released from prison, came first to South Korea, met my mom, and then came to the United States as the first Korean Southern Baptist pastor. And so I'm here by the grace of God, and I'm here because of the U.S. soldiers that intervened, that saved my dad when he was a single pastor.
Wow.
Then he got married to my mom in South Korea and then immigrated. So I love this country, and people wonder why I'm such a patriot. And I, not only am I a patriot, but I hate communism. And I saw the Marxist atheistic, because God is not in the picture whatsoever. And one party state here in California, when you think about it, 80% will vote left. We only have 25% registered Republicans in California, and 75% will vote are registered Democrats or independent, mostly Democrats. And so when they vote left. Almost every single local election, as well as bills and measures that are being passed. And so anyway, it was an uphill battle, but I won. And now the Lord called me to run for governor on April the 28th. I had an encounter with the Lord at 2:22 in the morning, where the presence of God came upon me. And I just had a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God's will for me to lay down everything and run for governor. And honestly, Steve, the first reaction was, God, please don't ask me to do this. I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine, you know, right?
Because, and it's like, it would be a miracle for a Republican conservative to win. And
well, not only that, but I'm guessing you're the type of person, being a believer and all of that, that would say, Lord, the last thing I'm trying to do is claw my way to the top so I can be an important governor. That's not your heart. I mean, I know you, you knew what a calling was. You know,
I really believe God's called me to bring about revival and reformation, to bring about transformation of nations. So we are in 73 nations with our ministry. But the Lord prophetically spoke to me to turn my heart back to California. When I had resigned as senior pastor, I gave the church over to my son in 2016, and Ed Savoso gave me a prophetic word to turn my heart back to California. And I didn't know that my son was going to resign, and not because of any moral failure or anything like that, but he was wearing Saul's armor, and he gave the church back to me, and then the lockdown took place, and I was forced to fix my eyes on California. I couldn't travel internationally even if I wanted to. And so I became senior pastor with Sue again in 2019, and we took the church through the pandemic. And then after we came out of the pandemic, I had another encounter with the Lord on Passover 2022. And it was just the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit telling me that that we're entering into a third great awakening. I know that's a mouthful, because there's only been two great awakenings before, 1738 with the first great awakening and the second Great Awakening starting in 1801 that I alluded to.
I mean, it's clearly well overdue, wouldn't you say? In other words, it's shocking that we haven't gotten into awakening yet. It had great revivals, right? What's the difference, by the way, when you say an awakening versus the revival? I bet you have it.
That's a great question.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Streams podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahStreams.com/give.
Revival is primarily, historically, is that the church gets revived. It always begins with God's people. We return to our first love, and we get on fire again from the Holy Spirit visiting the church. And of course, they get bold in sharing the gospel. And so what happens is that the harvest comes in. So it's the church getting revived and the harvest coming in has been typical revival. And I would use the Jesus People movement of 1967 to 1977 as a classic example that we see 20 million young people getting saved during that revival of the Jesus Revolution or the Jesus People movement. But society wasn't transformed. We had some of the worst bills passed during that time, including Roe v. Wade in 1973 and the same-sex marriage being legal in 2015. So what awakening does is that you have revival, the church getting revived and harvest coming in, but there's a sense of this Spirit of God moving upon the seven mountains of society.
Yeah.
And we're seeing not only people getting saved, but institutions being reformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you see transformation in the government where there's injustice, justice takes place. So like slavery was legal and they dismantled that by the power of the Holy Spirit through the ecclesia, through their church and the Great Awakening, and it took the second Great Awakening for us to dismantle slavery. But we see society being changed. So why I asked the question to the Lord, I said, okay, if we're in a Great Awakening, give me a sign that we are in this transformative time for our nation. And he whispered to my heart and said, Roe v. Wade had been overturned. Now, this is April, Steve. We know that was overturned on June 24th, 2022. That would be 3 months later. Now, we were hoping it would be overturned because we knew that the Supreme Court was deliberating that winter, but we hadn't heard any news being overturned until Politico leaked Judge Alito's writing, and that leaked a week after the Lord spoke to me, and that was a confirmation for me that I was hearing correctly that Roe v. Wade had been overturned. And so I made an apostolic decree on Resurrection Sunday, that Sunday, that Roe v. Wade had been overturned. The second sign, and this sounds crazy, but I believe Trump winning the presidency. And the reason why is that he is a reformer. He's basically, you know, people prophesied he's a Cyrus from Isaiah 45. And even though he doesn't know me, he's anointed by me for my purposes. And he was the one that released the Jewish people to come and rebuild the temple, which is a metaphor of really a heaven on earth, transformation of Israel once again after 70 years of captivity. And so Trump is a reformer. Now, I believe he's saved, but he's just a baby Christian. The reason why I had the privilege of having dinner with Ben Carson, one of his cabinet members, with his wife and Andrew Womack and his wife. We were speaking at a conference, Andrew Womack's conference, and we had dinner. And he said, President Trump has changed since the second assassination when the bullet missed.
Did he really?
But missed his temple just by an inch. He would have been dead, and he came to Jesus at that time, according to Ben Carson. And so,
oh, really? I didn't know that, an official accounting of that. I used to tell people, they said he's going to turn out to be a different man, and I said he might be turned out to be a different man, but he's going to still be President Donald Trump. He's still going to hit his enemies hard. Just because he's saved doesn't mean he's going to.
It doesn't mean that your personality changes overnight. You're
right.
You know, I mean,
been,
in Christ, he's a new person. Talking about is your spirit was dead in your trespasses and your sin. The Holy Spirit comes inside you and you're born again. But you have to become Christ-like, and that takes time. It's a lifetime journey between now and the second coming of Jesus, or when we go home to be with the Lord, as he's conforming us into his image. So anyway, this is Ben Carson's testimony, and I believe it's true, but But, you know, he's doing things. He doesn't have the language. You know, he's not quoting scripture or anything like that. But he's, I mean, think about it. May 17, he's rededicating America back to God. Who does that?
That is right. Who would even, yeah, think about that. By the way, I had Lautmeier, Jackson Lautmeier on Elijah Street a week or so ago. And we were talking about what goes on the inside, because he's part of the faith office in the West Wing of the White House. Maybe you're part of that too. Are you part of that?
No, Jackson Lane is a dear friend, because his dad, David Lane, is a dear friend. And Jackson. Yeah,
this is Lautmeier. Is that the same person? Jackson Lautmeier?
Jackson Lane's part of the faith group with Paula White and
okay. Yeah. So Lautmeier was saying, I was saying the same thing to him. I said, you know, Trump's just a baby Christian, right? And he goes, oh yeah. But I said, so when he said this one time not that long ago, he had all of the pastors around him and they were praying over him, and he said on camera boldly, he says, if this doesn't get me to heaven, nothing will. And he laughed and he said, you don't understand. Trump is a very, very funny guy. He really is funny. People on the inside, he absolutely knew he was just being funny. That's one of those where I thought, oh, Lord, don't have him say that. This will get me. Somebody explained to him the gospel. He actually said he does know the plan of salvation at that time. I think that's been 6 months ago. But yeah, there's things that will come up, and then you'll say, oh, there's the baby Christian in him, you know.
Well, he's a baby Christian. He's not a theologian. He doesn't know why grace was saved through faith. And so, you know, the language is not there, but has fruit. I mean, just think about it. On his inaugural speech, he said there's only two genders, male and female. I mean, that was so reformational, because the context of Biden, the previous 4 years, he had 84 different genders listed in the Health and Human Service website. How ridiculous is that? And so when he comes out and says there's two genders, you know, that's common sense stuff, right? We believe that for thousands of years, but it was reformational, because he was bringing reform to the government mountain, Health and Human Service. And just, and of course, he's done a tremendous job with Israel, with Iran, and so many things he's done, closing the borders. I mean, the first 100 days has been a whirlwind. He restored our economy. We were experiencing inflation, 40-year high under Biden, and now it's back down. Of course, gas prices in California were facing the highest unemployment, the highest prices, the highest gas taxes. And we're talking about, you know, the fourth largest economy, but in California, we have 22% of Californians living in poverty. And so when we see this Marxist atheistic state where they're just worshiping climate change and they're extreme environmentalists, and I believe in creation care. I believe that we're destroying earth and water. But they have gone so extreme, like, for example, the Delta, that brings the water down from the Sierra Mountains through the aqueduct system, has been cleaned to get rid of the silt, because we are running out of water. We need water for like 40 million people, but we're only producing for like 25 million. And one of the solutions is cleaning the silt in the Delta. But we don't do it because there's a smelt fish that's going extinct.
I mean, that is what evildoers do. That's how they behave. They have millions of people that need this water, and you can, let's tell, I can just see them laughing behind closed doors. Let's tell them we need this little smelt fish that no one ever has heard of or cares about, that we're going to let them
eat it. It's not even good.
That's evildoers. That's what evildoers do.
Well, that's why Satan is, you know, he's the God of this age, who's blind the eyes of unbelievers. And Isaiah 9:2 says, the people really are sitting in darkness. But here's some good news. They will see a great light, and that light is Jesus, and the light is us, light of the world and the gospel. And so that's why I'm approaching my candidacy, not in a political way, because politics is not going to transform California, but I'm doing this in a spiritual way, because the real world is a spiritual world. We don't rest against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. And our approach A lot of people think that, you know, I've wasted a lot of my time and energy and money on the prayer movement because I'm a co-founder of All Prayer Movement with Lou Engel. And CEO of that. And we put on the largest youth gathering in the history of America on September 2nd, 2000. And the reason why we did that was to pray and repent for the sins of Roe v. Wade and overturn Roe v. Wade. And I really believe, because we're the only ones, I mean, millions of people were praying, but we didn't gather together until the call of a half a million people. And God heard our prayers, albeit it was 22 years later on June the 2022.
I mean, I've heard people throw a little cold water on that sort of thing, thinking and saying, well, if you're not out there busy doing, then God needs your prayers, yes, but we better get to work. Well, yeah, we ought to stay to work, but God needs our gathering. God desires it. God moves with our gathering.
Yeah, we got to do the work. Faith without works is dead.
That's the work, too.
But here's the thing. He says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, that's you and me, are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And so this is God's prescription on how California can be healed. It begins with the church praying and humbling ourselves of our sins. Like, for example, we have 12 million evangelicals in California. 6 million of them are not even registered to vote. We need to repent. We need to repent that we're not stewarding our citizenship. Here I am, a Korean American citizen now.
Yeah.
And I am fighting for this state because I want to steward the constitutional right that I have to run as governor.
It's the right thing to do. It's the right, you know, I live in Oregon. I was born in Oregon, but I was raised the majority of my life in California. I love California. I met my wife there. We had two of our three kids there. I'm a Californian. I met my wife across the street from Disneyland, okay? Then we went to Disneyland a bunch of times before it's gotten so corrupt, but this state, we up in Oregon, we have the same thing, Che, where Christians kind of stop being active because what do we say to ourselves? We voted, my wife and I voted every year, but we say, what good does it do? Everyone's been initiated by the deep state. They cheat us out of every vote. I think that's what's going on in California. Even the statistic you gave about 75% of registered Democrats, Californians are going, I understand why they're doing it. They just can't stop with that. They can't just stop with saying, well, 75% are against us. There's no sense in voting. That will get you nowhere as fast as you can go. You know,
right.
So you've got to have reformers.
About that. So if you go to my website, che4ca.com, which is right there under my picture, but you'll see immediately a million ecclesias. Why a million ecclesia? It's a prophetic word I received by Ed Savoso to mobilize a million prayer warriors and activists. They're not just praying, but they're also getting new people to register because we need a new wineskin. The old wineskin of the Republican Party have become so woke. I mean, think about it. The leading candidate right now, Steve Hilton, he's pro-abortion, same-sex marriage. And,
I didn't know that. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you look at his record. And so, and Chad Bianco, he financially supports the LGBTQ group called the Log Cabin in the Republican Party. So they're both into same-sex marriage. And so we need to have someone with a biblical worldview running. I'm the only one among the top people that are in the polls that assigned the Family First statement that I'm pro-life, pro-marriage, traditional marriage between man and woman, pro-Israel, pro-free market. The list goes on, pro-religious freedom. And some of these things they agree with, but the two main things about pro-life and pro-family between a man and woman, they don't. And yet they feel they have to compromise. This is being political in order to get the Democrats to vote for them. See, they know that
well,
they don't.
Right, and if they don't have a reformer's mentality, they would, of course, arrive at that conclusion. Congressman this had to be about 92 it was just as bad back then. Everything in Washington State, I've lived in Washington, Oregon, California, stayed on the left coast. And our congressman to be, wannabe, was Linda Smith, a devout Christian. And so for whatever reason, she couldn't get on exactly like yours. And I thought, maybe people say, well, write her name in. And I did not believe that that had any possibility, but all of my brothers and sisters in Christ were saying, write her in. What do you have to lose? So we wrote her in, and darn it, she became the next congressman from our district and went to Washington, D.C. on that. And I've never thought about things the same again after that, because I didn't know it would work. She came in and she represented us. It was either at least one term. I don't know if she did two terms or not, but she was great. Lynn Smith, she's still up there. Keep going on what you're saying.
Yeah, Bill Johnson, I called him and told him about how they took my name off the ballot. And let me just, for the record, just say we made the mistake. I take full responsibility because I got the paperwork in 2 hours late. But the problem was that we were asking information from the Secretary of State office, and we were not getting any feedback response from them. And again, they know who I am. And it's almost like lawfare. I'm not saying that for sure because I don't know their hearts. But when we appealed to the courts, they only gave us 15 minutes and denied our constitutional right to run for office. And so the only way I could do that, again, these are judges. The appeals court, I went to the appeals court. I spent $60,000 just on legal fees to get my name back on the ballot. And they gave me 5 minutes because they're all Newsom cronies. They're all appointed by Newsom. They all know I sued Governor Newsom. Again, officially, I take responsibility. It was my fault. I should have made sure that we got it in time. But the reason why we were delayed, we're getting information from them just 4 days before we had to turn the papers in is when they contacted.
And weren't you saying to me, this is a couple of days ago, that if this had been a lefty and they had the same mistake, they'd have been happily sworn in or whatever, they would have filed the paperwork.
Eric Swalwell is a good example. He didn't even have residency in California. He won U.S. Congress. You have to be a resident of California. You have to be, basically a U.S. citizen, of course, and you have to have no criminal record and, basically a Republican for so many years to run in your particular party. I qualified for all of that. But Eric Swalwell, he was living with someone and he used his friend's. He didn't own an address. He used his friend's address. And they said, well, there's grace here. Let's let you run for it. And of course, he just stepped down, by the way. On April 11th, on the day that we had our solemn assembly, we had 33,000 at the LA Coliseum.
Really? On that day, huh? Wow.
People prayed, and we prayed that God would get rid of corruption. And I felt it was very interesting. On that afternoon, Eric Swalwell not just stopped running for governor. He was the front runner because four women have come forth independently of each other saying that he raped them. I mean, how evil is this?
Yeah.
And he would seduce them, rape them. And then he, because of the pressure now by the Democratic Party, he stepped down as Congress. But he was the one that was leading the charge of Russian collusion against President Trump with Adam Schiff in California. And so God got rid of a person that, again, didn't even qualify to be running for Congress because he didn't have residential proof that he lived in California. He was living with some friends at that time. And so there's compromise. So, yeah, if I was a Black woman Democrat, let's go all the way and say a lesbian.
Or trans, even better if you're a trans, yeah, probably. Yeah, trans,
right.
Let's just push it all the way.
Hey, what's 2 hours?
Step right up.
Yeah, come on in. And so, but because I'm a pastor, a conservative, a sued Governor Newsom, they just denied me my writ.
Are you pushing for a write-in candidacy or
here's the crazy irony of the whole thing. I can run as a write-in candidate and I don't have to turn in 5 years of my tax returns, which was what was late. And so the regulations, there's no consistency. So as a write-in candidate, I don't need to turn that in, but if I want
oh my goodness.
child, I had to turn it in. So again, the disparity there is just so obvious. And so I'm now running as a write-in. So I want all those who are watching me, please, in California, write six letters, C-H-E-A-H-N. And you have to do it above the line, because if it's bottom line, they'll use that as an excuse to throw out your vote. I mean, they are just so against me. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
so
well,
be very careful to say write Che on. But this is a good sign, Steve. It tells me the devil knows about me running, and because there's been tremendous favor.
Help Elijah Streams continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making Elijah Streams and the Elijah Streams podcast possible. Visit ElijahStreams.com/give and become a partner today.
You know, just the fact that the 33,000 people that heard me at the LA Coliseum, but Daystar was televising it, GobTV was televising it, and Flashpoint was televising it. And so the name got out much more than 33,000 throughout.
How long ago was that?
Just 2 weeks
this
ago.
Just 2 weeks ago. How many was in that crowd?
33,000. And this is not exactly numbers, computerized. The turnstile is computerized, and they give you exactly, it was 33,300. And I think that number 333 is very prophetic. Call upon me.
Yeah.
Answer you, show you great and mighty things you know not. Jeremiah 33:3. And so so I just feel like we cried out to the Lord. He answered our prayers. And it was supposed to rain, by the way, that day. It was supposed to be pouring rain. And so the Lord told me to make an apostolic decree. I know it sounds crazy, but I've done this a number
of times.
And so I made a decree that we would have a great, gorgeous day. It was perfect. 70 degrees. The weather was perfect. Wasn't too hot. Wasn't too cold. And then the next day it rained on Sunday, the Lord's day. And I felt like the Lord said, I heard your prayers. Because again, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when he says, I'll heal your land, it's by sending rain. In the context of 2 Chronicles 7 is that if I withhold rain, and you need to then humble yourself and pray. Because in a Agrarian culture, rain is life, and it brings transformation. And so I felt like the Lord said prophetically, I've heard your prayers. I'm going to heal California. So he sent rain on the Lord's day, not on the day of the event. Anytime it rains in California, it's a blessing, because you don't get rain.
Especially with all the water thing that you were talking about.
God's favor and pleasure on us gathering together, although it cost us $4 million, and it was, in fact, if anyone wants to help us out, I raised $3.2 million, and we put everything else on the American Express card.
How do they help you?
Harvest International Ministry, HIM, is the Hope LA is a DBA of HIM, so we call this Hope Fest LA, and it's a ministry that is under our network of ministries, like Wagner University is a DBA of HIM. So Harvest International Ministry, and all they have to do is go to harvestim.org for international ministry.
Put that up if you guys can catch it.
Harvestim.org, and to help me pay for, really, we bought the field of Matthew 13 in order to get the treasure for the kingdom to come. You know, there's a parable that you have to buy the field, and you sell everything to buy the field in order to have the kingdom come. And that's what we did. We asked God's kingdom rule to come. Thousands of people got saved. A number of pastors gave me the same stat, like 70% of people who were there gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. People were healed. They threw away their crutches. It was the largest healing. Nathan Morris. We've had Billy Graham, of course. We've had Franklin Graham. Greg Laurie does a crusade every year. But this was the largest healing crusade that we ever done in California, in Los Angeles.
When you say that California has ever had?
But not at 33,000. We've had Roberts come through and other healing evangelists, but not the largest. I'm saying the largest of 33,000. You know, that's, I think Robert had like 20,000 when he came. Amy McPherson, of course, had a 20,000 member church. She filled up her auditorium of 5,000 four times a Sunday. So she preached 5,000 moving in signs.
Yeah.
But at one time of a stadium event, it was a large, by God's grace, we give him all the glory, but we have to pay the bill. We have to buy the field. So anyone who wants to sow into church history and sow into what California.
Yeah. Now, we also want to give them, I'm going to ask you, I want to ask you another question about prayer and stuff like in public schools and all of that, but are you also raising funds for your write-in candidacy?
What we're doing is that when my name was taken off the ballot, our support nose dropped. People just thought, okay, he's not viable. They assumed I'm going to take my name off and that I was trying to just quit. But the Lord gave me a prophetic word, and I heard the words of John Paul Jones, the famous revolutionary captain of a U.S. naval ship during the Revolutionary War, and he said, I just begun to fight, when he was asked by the British to surrender. And he said, no, I've just begun to fight. And I feel like, look, I'm in it for the long term. Even if I don't win this, and I believe I will have a shot, believe it or not, because I've gotten a lot of attention as a write-in candidate.
If you make a couple more splashes, you might be all in. I have a question about that. Now, you're running for a state office, not a federal one. On the state level, is there a limit of what people can donate, or is that only on federal?
Anyone in the United States can support me. That's a beautiful thing about the governor's race. As long as they're a U.S. citizen, they can give, and the max is a lot. It's $39,200, and so I've raised almost $1 million just with the church, with the ecclesia. It took a nosedive, and I need a lot more to finish out this last month because it's a sprint to the finish. So they could go to che4ca.com, get my website for my campaign, and they can sow in whatever the Lord leads them to sow. But I appreciate the support. But if I had to say what's a priority, I would say harvestim.org, because we just had this huge event. And I would love for them to support us as
The beautiful thing is that the Harvest IM would have no limit on it. The people could get it in if they wanted.
You get a tax.
Because it's 501c3, right? Yeah. And then the other one's 39,000 ish. And so if someone, a husband and wife said, let's each give, and another husband and wife said, let's each give, they could get some good money in there for
you. Give out the corporation. So their company, let's say they have a S Corp or LLC, they can give from their company money, they can give themselves.
Oh, they can.
So it could be $39,000 each giver. So the company, husband, the wife, and so that adds up, you know. So
that's important, because a lot of people don't know that, JNS. They think federal, they think this big thing. And I had just been looking into that for my own state. That's how come the basis of my question, because I thought, I wonder if that's the same. However, in Oregon, I can't give from a business. It has to be personal. But in California, you can give from an LLC, you said.
Yes.
That's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but it's amazing. I've gotten so much support from people around the world. And I want to take the time for those who are watching you, say thank you. I had a dream 2 days ago where I was doing a campaign meeting and we ran out of food and I hadn't eaten. I was so busy talking and I was really hungry. And all of a sudden, a volunteer came and brought a hamburger over because they were serving hamburgers and French fries. This is a dream, right? But it so blessed me. And I just said, this represents the people that have been serving our campaign, people who are volunteering. People are praying, and they're very sensitive to the Spirit. They knew my situation, and they came and just blessed the daylights out of me. And the Lord so encouraged me with that dream, just said, there's so many people that love you, that are supporting you. And even though you've gone through the opposition, it's 1 Corinthians 16:9, like the great doors open up for me, but there's many adversaries. I've never gone through so much warfare since I said yes to the Lord to run for governor. And yet, I rejoice in that, because God's using all that to help me to become more Christ-like. And that's why we have to, how we handle tribulation is really important. And that's why Paul says in Romans 5, I exalt in my tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, character, hope. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, And so I just encourage people that are going through a hard time, just rejoice. Not in everything. It says in everything, give thanks, not for everything. So, you know, if you're fighting sickness, whatever, that's not of the Lord. He wants you healed. But in the midst of it, he's still using it to help us to become Christ-like, that we need to take our authority and we need to declare 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, we were healed. And I want to declare that those who are fighting sickness, receive your healing now based on God's finished work on the cross 2,000 years ago. He took our sickness, he took our disease, and by his stripes we were healed.
Okay, I'm going to have you share about your book in a second. Let's just have one quick question. Were you around in California when, or anywhere, do you remember when prayer was taken out of school? I can't remember the year, but I'm guessing it could have been around.
I tell in 1962, I was in America. I came in 1960, and I thought America was a great country because before we ate our lunch, we said, God is great.
Yeah.
God is great, and we thank him for our food. And that happened for 2 years. And then all of a sudden, we stopped praying. Now, of course, I was like 7 years old. I didn't know what was going on. But that's when Madeleine O'Hare sued this U.S. government and took prayer out of school. And then the Bible was taken out in 63. And ever since then, just look at how things have gone wrong in our society.
Exactly.
And ironically, the Muslims, like in Dearborn, Michigan, they, through democratic policy, have now instituted public prayer through the intercom system for the Muslims to come together and pray.
It's so hypocritical.
But Jesus said the sons of this age are wiser than the sons of this kingdom. And so we're seeing these people who don't even believe in the true God.
I remember, and it was had to be 65, 66 in there. We lived in Santa Paula, California at that time, little place out there, not too far from Pasadena, an hour in there or something. But I was the oldest kid in the whole school that had 13 kids. It was in the classical, old, completely renewed Little Red Schoolhouse. They called it the Little Red Schoolhouse. It had a bell tower. It had all that. And Mrs. Davis was our teacher. And it was a one-room school, and it was beautiful. It changed my life, literally. I was in sixth grade. But when we went there, it was my third school that year. My parents kept moving, so they moved us to my third school. I thought it was going to be horrible. The lady, Mrs. Davis, my wonderful teacher, gave me D's the first quarter. I did terrible until I realized what she was about, and she was really serious about life. And anyway, we would go in there, and we would start the day, all 13 of them would stand up, and we would say the Lord's Prayer every single day. Pledge of Allegiance and the Lord's Prayer. Well, I don't know if you probably weren't in California in those days, but there was a very famous newscaster back then named Cleet Roberts. People in California would remember them if they're my age. But he was a very, very well-known guy. And he brought his whole LA County, I don't know if ABC, CBS, one of those. And they did a whole story on us. And I was in that film, like as a sixth grader sitting at my desk, saying the Lord's Prayer. And the whole thing was this controversy about this teacher that refused to quit praying in public school, because by that time, I think if it was really passed by then, I didn't really understand the issues of the day. But I've been a fighter ever since those days. But I mean, when I say my love's in California, it is. I really have roots in all three left states, you know, this famous left coast. So my prayers are with you. We're going to have you share about your book. You talk about your book called Hope California. Tell us about that. We'll put that on the screen.
Well, it's a book of really, it's all about the Holy Spirit and how he has prophetically led me and the encounters I've had. So my journey with the Holy Spirit to transform a state. And I was called in 1982 with a dream of a black man to come to Los Angeles for great revival, great harvest. And now I know what that's all about, because I had a traditional view of revival, but the Lord is asking for us to see reformation and revival, transformation from every mountain, from media, Hollywood, will be Hollywood. I believe prayer will be restored back through President Trump. And the Bible is already coming back. The Ten Commandments are coming back in Louisiana. So I am so encouraged by President Trump under his leadership that we're going to see some of these things get restored. And as a result of that, we're going to see God bless our nation. I feel that this rededication of America is a sign that we're in the third great awakening. And so this is what my journey is all about. It really gives Jesus all the glory about how he's blessed my family. Two of my kids are pastors as well. And just how he blessed us. We saw a cult become born again through prayer. It's shown a glimpse of what we could see through the power of prayer and spiritual warfare. And I highlight the people who have been very significant in my life, beginning with my wife, Sue, Lou Engel, Peter Wagner, who was my mentor, Cindy Jacobs.
Yeah.
On. So it really is a synopsis of church history from 1973 of revival breaking out with the Jesus People movement and how everything changed in 94 through the Toronto blessing and Brownsville revival in my life. I became born again again. And out of that came our church, the network of churches, the call prayer movement, and now running for governor. And so that's why revival is the answer. Revival and reformation is the answer for California and for our nation. And I believe that God is bringing a global revival, not just for our nation, but it's happening. We're hearing reports of all these Muslims getting saved in Iran. They estimate maybe 5 million have gotten saved since the war began. And so
wow. It's
amazing what we're hearing about. Even countries like Saudi Arabia is now blessing Israel. And the Bible says that whoever blesses you, I will bless. I believe we're going to bring down Saudi Arabia and Iran and other, Abraham Accord Middle Eastern nations that are blessing Israel. And so we're in the most exciting days.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the things that are coming up, Venezuela, Cuba's probably next in Trump's agenda. God only knows what he's put in the heart of this king. He's not a king, he's a president, but biblically speaking, he's the leader of the nations, kind of the, potato, potato. Every nation has one main leader. So you call him what they call him.
Anyway, the books on Amazon.com, they could go order it. And they could go to our website and order it as well. We'll ship it out.
And the website, is it the one that's up top there, Chief? Yeah,
for faithforca.com. And anyway, Steve, thanks for having me. What an honor to be with you.
Yeah, again. It's been nice to have you. And I remember, people, get in there and do a write-in vote for Chief. Keep it above the line. And make sure you're a citizen because they're checking it, I guess, or something. But do not... avoid going to that. So we love California. I certainly do from my heart. So
it's crazy. They don't want to check your citizenship in California, but when you're running, they have to check. And so, but anyway, I thank God that God gave me a short name, Chase, 3 letters on 3 letters. And so I'm grateful.
Yeah.
And so I pray people can remember that as they
go. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. God bless you, Chase. And absolutely. We will see you again soon, I'm sure, Chang.
Yeah, I'd like to be back on after June 2nd and just
we can recap where we are with that and see what's happening so far. So appreciate that. All right, you guys have a great day. Let's see, this is Thursday. So tomorrow, Friday, I don't know if I have the who's speaking tomorrow, but it's okay. You'll find out. The way I've got my screen set up, I can't see that right now. So it'll be good. I just can't remember who it is. Okay, you have a great day, everybody, and we will see you later tomorrow at 11 Pacific. Bye-bye.
God bless.
This has been Elijah Streams. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Streams podcast at ElijahStreams.com, on Apple, and Spotify. Join us live every weekday at 11 a.m. Pacific time at ElijahStreams.com, Rumble, and Facebook. Elijah Streams is part of Elijah List Ministries. Go to ElijahStreams.com/give to become a partner today.